pineapple does pop them. It pops when you add a little bit of
When you put in a little bit of, I didn't even put a teaspoon, I just put like a little bit.
Yeah, just the. So pineapple on pizza, tick. Pineapple in tea, tick.
Pineapple on pizza, tick.
Yeah, bro.
I don't know about that, man, tick. To be honest with you.
Yeah. Come on, man. Your chicken barbecue pizza with the pineapple, delish, man.
Look, I don't mind, you know, if you guys want to, you know, have pineapples on your pizzas, that's okay. I'm not going to judge you guys. You know, I'm supportive of you guys to do so.
However,
for me, it's just not my cup of tea, personally.
Can I be honest? Like,
yeah.
I'll be completely honest. I feel like I have a fair view on pineapple on pizza.
Okay.
The fair view is this, right? I totally get it if you prefer like 5-6 other flavors and you never order it.
Yeah.
But if it's there and you had to eat it, I think if you don't like it, you have an unsophisticated palate. That's my opinion.
Unsophisticated.
I think if you appreciate the blending of sweet and salty, that for me tells you you've got a pretty good palate.
Wow.
But I get if you would never order it. I get that.
I feel like just someone's just kicked me in the dick there.
Look,
but,
man,
you know.
not everyone can have a sophisticated palate.
Fair enough.
Like a bad thing. It's just, hey, fair enough, man.
He's about to go to Greece and have the most sophisticated palate. While we actually, will it be sophisticated?
Really. Nah, I'm just going to get a souvlaki every day with, you know, tirokafteri, which but maybe that
winning.
Is the sophisticated.
He's still
part.
Winning, though. He's still winning.
Yeah, true. Anyway, look, welcome back to the pod. Apologies for no episode from last week. We've turned into a non-footy podcast talking about food and pizza and stuff and like normal podcasts, I guess.
Well, see Trump get shot?
let's stop it.
To be fair with us not potting last week, North got whacked, Carlton lost 2 in a row. We were never going to do that pot anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Like, but nah, look, what's it called? So I was a bit under the weather. I didn't want to infect the boys. You know what I mean? That's not how we do things. It is nice. It is nice to be back. Getting into the swing of things. Mm. We're testing some new equipment. So apologies if there's any issues with the audio and the camera quality. But we've got a little stopgap for when I leave because we record on my phone usually.
And we just watched North and Carlton, so
da 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 da. Yes. No, I won't be doing any of that.
George is a gentleman as always. If I'm a bit extra emotional, that's why. But yeah. I think I've been behaving myself.
I'd be angrier than you guys.
I think I behaved myself, didn't I?
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, no, you were pretty calm.
Got a bit angry at the umpires.
Yeah, no, look, the umpires
standard Carlton North game, to be honest.
Yeah,
exactly,
to be fair,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. But look, I think we'll go back to the start of the round. And the start of the round was exciting and enjoyable because a team that we so famously have, you know, shit on.
You're trying to say it politely.
No. Look, I'm taking shots on my way out. You know what I mean? I'm gonna enjoy myself. So look, shout out to Adelaide, man. Shout out to Adelaide. You know, for making our view of Essendon being frauds and pretenders, you know, somewhat valid. You know what I mean? So that was pretty sweet.
Very enjoyable game to watch. To be honest with you,
yeah.
Super high scoring. Some crazy transition between these teams. Like I think Adelaide kicked the goal from defensive half. In like 3 kicks with Darcy Fogarty. And I'll tell you what, Darcy Fogarty is the type of player that has kind of been pigeonholed in the past as being really accurate but a bit of a plotter. That guy's got some serious burst and power. Mm. And Ben Keys, mate, he plays 2 good games a year. One of them is against Carlton. He dominates Carlton. But when he plays a good game, he plays an incredible game. 5 goals, 1.
What a game.
22 disposals. He was in everything. Every time he was around the ball, he won it. He's incredible. And I think it was basically those two players that took on the whole of Essendon. It's crazy.
All right, so here's the thing, we've doubted Essendon, not just us, right? Everyone has doubted Essendon this year because there's never really been a game where you're like, yep, that's Essendon proving themselves against a really good team. And then they kind of did. They beat Geelong.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone was like, okay. Oh, no, sorry, they lost to Geelong. They beat Collingwood. But now everyone's looking at Collingwood like they're not all that. When they beat the Giants earlier in the year, then later they went on a losing streak. They weren't all that.
Mm-hmm.
So they really haven't really beaten any good team in their prime in a big game. So, the doubt was there, but the results were also there. So you couldn't really shit on them too much because they were there. But now they've fallen to 8th and they got the worst percentage of any team up until even Collingwood in 13th.
Mm.
And all the talk, I flagged this a few weeks ago, I said, Bombers players, Bombers coach, they're talking a lot about learning from last year. They're talking heaps about it. What is this? No Tex, no Rankin, 2 Adelaide defenders down during the game. So they're short on the bench. And you can't run that out?
Mm.
You let them score how many goals in that second quarter within like 10 minutes and then you come back and then you don't finish the job at home?
Yeah.
What is that?
The Essendon play, like Merritt, Caldwell got injured, Nick Martin, these type of players, they didn't touch the ball in the last quarter, man.
Mm.
It was all Adelaide.
That is true.
There's big problems there, and the funniest thing, and I really sincerely hope Brad Scott stays with his job. Mm. This guy actually said in the press conference,
nothing to worry about.
It's not a structural issue. Mm. It was an execution issue. Well, you know what the subtext of that is? It's not me. It's the players. And that's the typical ooh, Brad Scott bullshit.
You're right.
That's
right.
Facts, man.
Politician.
If you concede, politician. If you concede 115 points to Adelaide away with all those outs, you mean to tell me there's nothing wrong with your structure? It's all execution? You're shitting on your players that much, bro?
That's pretty harsh.
I'm telling you, man. Essendon, look, their fans I kind of feel sorry for. Not really, but kind of. Because they always go on this roller coaster during the year.
I feel sorry for them, man.
They go on this roller coaster, right? But at the end of the day, your coach will not deliver when it matters. Even if you did make the finals.
Mm.
I'm not going to say they're not going to make it. They might. But you're not going to deliver. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. I think, look, you know, it's nice. It's a really... It's justified. It's really justified, the view throughout the season, man. I'll tell you that much. Like,
I cannot believe Essendon lost that game, though.
I know. And, you know, I just looked at the previous week. We didn't get a chance to shit on them last week when, you know, we didn't do the pod. They lost to Melbourne, who just got smacked by 50 against Freo. You know what I mean? So
A depleted Melbourne. You're playing teams with all their best players out.
Yeah.
And you are letting them beat you.
We're talking about the, like, for Melbourne, it's their best player, correct, Max Gorn.
And Petrarca.
And true,
Adelaide's
true.
Two most influential players forward of the ball, Tex and Rankin, out.
Mm.
Thilthorpe's just getting back into the game. You're letting him kill you.
True.
Fogarty, killing you. Keys, killing you. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, you can't let Keys kill you, man.
Mm. Nah, fair
but they
enough.
Came, and here's the thing, they came back. I was thinking, like, this is hilarious, they're losing. And then they came back, I'm like, okay, fair enough, good on them.
And when they came back, you're like, oh, SN's going to wrestle control of this game.
And then they were up by 3 goals. Yeah. With, like, how long to go? Not long.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. It's disgusting. Mm. I would be embarrassed to be an Essendon fan.
Mm. On the other hand, if you're an Adelaide fan, like...
Well done.
Look, well done. But this is the other thing. And just enjoy it. Soak it up, man. Well, soak it up.
This is the thing about Adelaide. Like, they've demonstrated they can play good football.
Mm.
And they've won a couple of big games at Marvel away this year. Where is this performance throughout the whole year? Like, to me, they've just been up on a pretty... Well, we don't know what we really think of Essendon. But say a decent mid-tier team. Mm. They've beat them away. If they had played a consistent level throughout the year, they would be in the contention for top eight as well. So it's a good win from Adelaide, but if I was a supporter, I'd be thinking, man, where has this been all year?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those.
To me, it highlights Adelaide's potential and them not executing it consistently.
Mm. That's fair, man.
They're in a bit of a weird spot. I think they tried to sort of rush their rebuild and convince themselves they were more ready than they were. There's nothing wrong with this half step back. Because they do have really good young players.
That's true.
In fact, one of them I wanted to bring up, and I had a note during the game, like, what's happened to Rochelli? Ironically, he's the one that wins the game.
Yeah.
But during the game, I'll be honest, in the order of my notes, I actually had written down, like, what's wrong with this guy? Because I'm watching the first half, and I must say, he looks huge. Like, he's put on a lot of size.
He has.
But he looks a bit too big. Like, he's lost all his agility. He looks slow. I'm like, this guy's like the world's shortest power forward ever. Like, that's how the body he's going for at the moment.
Yeah.
And you think back to like 2 years ago, he was like slide and
nippy.
Nippy, yeah. Mm. And he just didn't look good. And then obviously he comes out, he kicks three, kicks the winner. So like, maybe he's just in a weird sort of phase of physical development. Maybe. I still think he's a really good player, but...
Mm.
You know, Thilthorpe's looking huge. I don't know what they're eating over there in Adelaide. Thorpe. I reckon Adelaide might get done for a bit of a saga, to be honest with you. Like, what's going on here, man?
Maybe. Because, you know, like, how old is Thilthorpe to have that good a beard? Like
22,
you know,
probably.
22. Yeah, okay, then that makes a bit of sense. Because, like, you know, when you're on the roids, you know, the beard starts growing a bit thicker. And that's not what I've done, because clearly I'm not that big, right? But that's a thing. That's the thing. The beard grows stronger. So, you know, I don't know, man. Asada,
he's done a voyage and return, Thilthorpe. He's gone on a journey. He's come back a man.
He's a Viking.
Man. Yeah, he's a Viking.
He's a Viking now. He's got the big, the scary beard. It's honestly, he might be one of my favorite players on the back of 2 weeks, bro. Honestly, he's so good to watch, man.
He's the new Charlie Dixon. He's the Charlie Dixon.
Exactly. Did I mention that in the group chat?
I don't know.
Because I wanted to mention it on the pod and you did it for me.
Oh, sorry, bro.
Nah, it's all good, man. It's all good. It's a good call. It's a great call. Because big boy can play a bit in the ruck, but you don't really want him to play in the ruck because you want him in the forward line make an impact. Mm. You know, so can provide structure to your team, just, you know, based off one guy.
Yeah, he is.
Which is a quote that you used for Dixon a few years ago.
Did I?
That one. Yes, no, I remember that.
You're with the callbacks today.
I know. I made a weird callback earlier before the pod. Don't worry about it. it gets a bit political. But it's a good way to start the round, man.
Can I just say as well, how good was the Rochelle hugging the fan moment?
I liked it.
Does it James Heard to the Bombers?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was a conscious thing. I'm going to do a James Heard if I get the winner. It can't be.
But did he know that fan?
No way. It didn't look like it. I don't think so. What a moment though. Like, Bombers fans watching that must think like, geez, we used to be so good. Yeah. We used to have Heard and Lloyd and Fletcher.
And now we've got Draper doing...
Now we got Draper,
the old dive ski.
Worst ruckman in the league, Draper.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of Draper at all. Yeah.
You know, apparently Nick's mentioned it to the players. They brought up the Draper dive thing, you know, just say, hey, if this doesn't rile you up, I don't know what will, man.
Yep.
So, you know, it was good. It was good.
They got their revenge. They did.
100%. They did. That was their revenge game.
Well done, Crows. So, yeah. Bombers. Yeah. Sorry, this was always going to happen. Yeah. So don't act too surprised.
It'd be interesting now, if they don't make the finals this year, does Scott keep his job?
Hope so.
I think.
Hope so.
I think you will.
Yeah.
Because what's the point of changing it?
Fair enough.
I actually, if you want to look at the, maybe we look at the ladder at the end. But
we should be reflecting on the ladder throughout
the Dogs are ninth, right? Crazy. And playing really good football. And I wouldn't be surprised if the final ladder is Sydney, Carlton, Giants, Geelong, Port, Brisbane, Fremantle, Dogs.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
That's Essendon dropping, Melbourne dropping, Hawthorn not making it.
That's fair.
Pies not making it.
Yeah, I agree.
And Hawks are probably capable of making it, but...
Well, look, all I'll say is every single one of those teams you mentioned has had a big win and proven themselves and they've got better percentage. So,
yeah, you know.
I mean, Essendon's percentage is like St Kilda's. They're 2% apart, man. I'm sorry. Like,
that's crazy, man.
I don't want to overly hate here, but...
And it's still better than Collingwood's.
I want the best teams in the finals. Yeah, exactly right. Anyway. All right, so the next game, I honestly... didn't watch it, and I don't even want to really talk about it with any of my opinion, because Gold Coast lost away again. They were disappointing away again. I don't want to talk about these Muppets anymore, to be honest with you. Like, I think these guys are a complete joke.
Yeah, well, they are. I think they actually had a lot more inside 50s than the Giants. So, that was interesting, but...
6-14. That'll do it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Look, the only thing I really want to... Something I did notice in the game was Toby Green. He didn't have a huge game, but the two goals that he did score.
Yeah. The over-the-head kick.
Over-the-head kick was gorgeous.
Oh, I saw that.
And
the dancing
weaving between the defenders, that was pretty sweet as well. So, those were kind of the highlights of the game. I think what's good for them, right, is all of a sudden, Darcy Jones is back into the side. And he's been, you know, hasn't had huge numbers, but he's been effective as a young player, as a small forward out there. Brent Daniels in his milestone game gets a couple goals as well. They've still got Bedford playing in the midfield now, tagging. They get so much value out of their small forwards, probably more than any other club just about.
Yeah, like, they're dangerous and they're so quick.
I know, exactly. And then they've got the other guy you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Fonty, who's quick as well.
Yeah.
Whitfield has that pace. But yeah, they were just smashing him. They were just smashing him like the typical like GWS way off the half back. You know what I mean? Just crushing.
Gold Coast couldn't stop that transition run from them, GWS has gotten back over the last couple of weeks. So they're starting to get a lot more damaging again. I mean, Whitfield 40 possessions, Flanders 43. So two very high scores.
That's ridiculous.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. And what's that? Tom Green coming back into form a little bit as well. He's getting his touches, just getting in and under a bit more. Also, another good game. Who was the other guy who had a good game that I was going to mention? Actually, not so much a good game, but he's back into form now. Is Kieran Briggs? I think he's playing a lot better than he started the season. Like he had a couple dominant performances. Prior to this week, and I think this week was okay as well, you know, not the best, but you know.
Well, it had to be this week. I mean, he's playing a good young ruckman in Ned Moyle, but if that's not the matchup where you can give your midfielders first use, I don't know what is.
Yeah,
because the rest of the ruckmen in the league are more experienced than Moyle and probably better than him.
Yeah, but in saying that,
he's good though.
We've said it before. Moyle's actually,
he's
an AFL. He's an AFL ruckman, man. He's not a VFL boy anymore.
Correct.
He deserves to be, first ruckman in a team. Who knows if it's going to be for Gold Coast? Like, does this give them an opportunity to move on from Wits? You know what I mean? Say if Geelong came calling, who need a ruckman, right? Geelong come calling, they say, first rounder for Wits. You know what I mean? And then we just go, all right, we'll run with Moyle. And it's not that, it's not the hugest.
He's their captain though, right?
Yeah, true, true. You can't really trade your captain, can you?
Well, you can. It's been done before.
Yeah, true. Remember when you convinced me pretty quick.
Ryan Griffin, he got traded
from Dogs to GWS. Yeah, true. I don't know what type of team they were at the time, though, the Dogs. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And I guess he was offered big money as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I don't know. Just food for thought. Because I think when you look at how to fix teams, you know, it's trying to maximize value out of your, you know, players in different positions. If you've got this huge value of Moyle, you know, in the reserves because you've got to play Wits, it's kind of a shame. You know?
The thing is that the problem that a lot of teams have, but it's probably a good problem, is you kind of need two good ruckmen. Because if one ruckman goes down and they've gone for 6 weeks and you're just exposed in the middle, you can't have that.
That's true.
So that is true. Every team needs a VFL ruckman sitting there waiting and able to come in and play a good role. That's actually just needed for...
And Witz himself isn't the most durable player, so...
No, he's not.
It's not the worst person to understudy for.
That's fair. I guess. You know what? They're probably going to try to get that timing just right, like how North did with Sherry and Goldstein. Mm. You know what I mean? In saying that, Witz is a lot younger than Goldstein, I'm assuming. Like, actually, he would be. He'd be several years younger than Goldstein. So, you know, it's probably not the right time yet, but, you know... Yeah, I don't know, man. How patient can Moyle be?
Well, it could just be if he's just better than Witz eventually, then Witz goes to the VFL.
Yeah, true.
If he just becomes better than him.
Hmm.
Yeah. Doesn't need to be a handover and then Witz is done or leaves. It could just be he's not good anymore.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. That's a lot of talk about Moyle.
A lot of talk about Netball.
About Gold Coast.
Well, look, we should just
say... You won't find that anywhere else.
Exactly. We are enjoyers of AFL, after all. So yeah.
That doesn't prove it. I don't know what does.
Exactly right.
I will say, Giants, a few weeks ago, we were sort of saying, oh, these guys, what's happened to them? I did say it would not surprise me if they were back up in
Where
a few
are they,
weeks.
Fourth?
Now they're fifth.
And there it is.
So there you go.
There it is, man. There it is.
And they're not even like in form properly, though.
Not properly. I mean, when they came up against Carlton, that was kind of their turnaround, and they were really, really strong. I don't think they looked as good yesterday. But when players like Jesse Hogan are kind of firing, he's kind of like their, do we say, barometer? Like when he's clunking those contested marks, they just look like a completely different team. And if there's one guy that's going to challenge Kerno for the Coleman this year, it's this guy. It's a two-person race, I think.
That's fair.
Next game, Saints did the biz against West Coast. West Coast just a sorry side at the moment, once again.
Yeah, yeah. It's when you're making St Kilda look really, really, really good.
And what did they score? They scored a big... What did they score,
Saints? Huge score, 113. Membry, 23 disposals, 10 marks and 5 goals.
That's crazy, man. That's crazy. Look, I guess, would that happen with McGovern playing? Maybe not. Like, that 10 marks from Membry? Come on. That couldn't happen. But look, yeah, it's... I think St Kilda, at least they showed, hey, you know, we can, you know, put teams to the sword. Because did they win? When did they win?
They won last week, didn't they?
Oh, no, they lost
Adelaide.
No,
last week was bad.
But the previous week, you know, they beat the Swans. So it shows at least that, you know, they're not, the wheels haven't completely fallen off for them, you know. That's really all you can say for this game, to be honest with you, because, like...
It's the end of the season, and I think The Eagles just want to get to the finish line, and they're crawling. They're crawling there.
They are, and you know what? Time. Saints have had a tough year, failed their expectation. It would be fun for their fans. Just enjoy a win.
Yeah,
you know.
That's it.
Get the job done, and just hopefully some of it sticks for next year. But
in a sort of similar way to Adelaide, you know, season's over. But look, here's a little bit of enjoyment, you know, to finish off your season. You know, smack up a team.
Well, you could say the same about Collingwood.
Well, let's go there.
Your season's done too, baby. So just enjoy the next couple of weeks if you can.
Oh man, hey man, some little photos from Ginny.
in their game. Ginny was taking the absolute piss, mate. The whole team was taking the piss. They slaughtered them.
They really did, man.
And this isn't against Ginnivan at all, because I think he's a decent player. But how do you let this guy get 30 disposals in the wet? That's crazy.
I know, man. Kicking that score, 133 points in the wet.
Correct. And the start of the game, something I did notice, you know how like Collingwood's got this big thing about, and obviously big thing, it's obviously worked because they've won a premiership, but the camaraderie, the never give up attitude, all this stuff.
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of like, there was a tackle, like 5 guys go around the guy and congratulate him. You know, a good spoil for a behind, Darcy Moore does a spoil, everyone's getting around him. And then just as the game went on, it stopped. Right. And that just tells me that like, they were revved up to, you know, be there for each other and, you know, team win, let's do this. And then the Hawks are just like, yeah, That's not going to be enough today.
Not happening.
High fives and hugs aren't going to be enough to beat us today.
Something's changed with the Pies. And over the last couple of weeks, when they've gone into three-quarter time with behind, they just haven't even remotely looked like coming back like they have. And I feel like a couple of weeks ago, I remember who, I think it was Cats. Was that last week, the Cats? Or a couple of weeks ago when Collingwood versus the Cats?
Yep.
The Cats just played keepings off
in
the
last week. Quarter. Yeah.
They just played keepings off the last 10 minutes. They didn't let Collingwood touch the ball. And I just feel like potentially teams have finally worked out how to play this team. I don't know. Maybe there's something structurally that's affecting the way Collingwood's playing. But that way that they were doing last year, attacking in waves, coming back, playing fast football, being there for the hand pass and receive, it's just not connecting. And it just looks like it's kind of Dacos kind of trying to do his thing, not being as effective because people are hanging off him, and suddenly nothing works anymore.
Yeah.
Darcy Moore looks like he's exposed. Nothing's working for them.
Here's the one thing I wanted to mention. I'm glad you brought that up. So I don't know exactly what's going on with them. Obviously, there's some injuries. You can't ignore that. But something's wrong defensively.
Yeah.
And I'm sick and tired of hearing the word Nathan Murphy. Stop blaming this guy.
Yeah.
He got concussion. He had to retire. You can't tell me that this one guy takes Collingwood from this super organized defensive team, Darcy Moore's the best, to what's going on now.
Yeah.
Because he's playing bad all year. He's allowed to have a down year. But 133 points to Hawthorn in the wet, to any team in the wet, is a disgrace.
Bro, it touched the ground in Hawthorn's forward 50, goal.
Legit. Stoppage goal. Legit. They were bringing up the stats consistently. Stoppage scores from Hawthorn inside their 50, so inside 50 stoppages, was through the roof. I can't remember the number. But how are you letting in the wet clean clearance in your 50 and scores? There's no explanation for that. That just tells me Hawthorn is just like next level mentality compared to them right now.
100%, man. 100%. And now all of a sudden you look at that team as well, man. It's just like, so obviously they're losing their stoppages. Does that mean they're midfield shit? I think it kind of does right now.
George said the other week, what does it tell you when Pendlebury and Sidebottom are still their best midfielders, aside from Dacos?
Yeah, so, 100%. So, Degoe's injured, right?
He's in, but he's forward. He's not as explosive.
He was playing. Yeah. So, Tom Mitchell is their clearance player that hasn't played. Who else is missing from their midfield?
I'm trying to think. So, the guys who run in there, so Dakes.
Crisp.
Yeah, I don't know. Who else is there? I don't think there's anyone else missing.
Why do I feel like there's one other player that's missing?
Lipinski? What do you think?
No, he was there.
Yeah. Nah, look, what I'm getting at is I just think for the future, I don't think Dacos has a proper running mate, apart from maybe Degoe, but the issue with Degoe is not like a proper two-way running, you know, player. You know what I mean? I don't think he's...
No.
I think he's almost like a stringer almost in the middle. Yeah, you know what I mean? Where you chuck string ring, he's a big body, he wins the clearance and he bangs it forward. You know, I don't know if Degoe has that, you know, that tank on him.
Isn't it interesting that when things start to fall apart, you look at this side that won the flag last year and suddenly there's holes in all their team.
Yeah,
and suddenly Bo McQuarrie is not the player that he was last year.
Yeah, he was one that they were saying possibly going in the midfield, you know? And this hasn't happened, you know?
You just look at these different spots and you go, wait, is he actually that good? A really good system makes individual players look good. When that's not working, the defensive isn't right, it all falls apart.
Yeah. We thought Quainer was like, whoa, look at this guy, all Australian, small forward type vibe. And now all of a sudden, it's just like, bro, he ain't doing much to help out that defense.
Correct. And the thing is, like I mentioned before, Collingwood sort of won the premiership last year based on skill, but also just incredible heart and never give up attitude and whatnot. Teams have just figured out now, like, if you want to beat this team, you have to want it, not just a bit more than them. You need to want it way more than them. And Hawthorn has just had that attitude every week, let alone they were playing Collingwood. And Collingwood's lost that eye of the tiger, so to speak, to throw in a Rocky reference. Like, they just don't have that killer edge anymore.
No.
And Hawthorn does. Like, Hawthorn's the opposite end of the spectrum, trying to prove themselves. And you saw it. It was kind of like little brother just beat up big brother.
Yeah.
Turning point.
I'd say one more bad thing to say about Collingwood. So, we've said, midfield meh. Defense meh, right? So, key defenders, not much there, really. Let's be fair. And even Darcy Moore himself, right? Apart from being good at speeches, man, he can't win a one-on-one. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he doesn't do too much, man. Like, he's more the interceptor type guy. And then you look at the forward line. It's Majacek and...
It's meant to be McStay. He's only come back now. It's meant to be Kruger. He's out again.
Yeah, exactly. It's just... it's not promising, man.
No.
You know, on both ends of the ground and in the middle. So, personnel-wise, that is.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know. Look.
Did you... to be a bit more... Like, I think they're cooked, to be honest. I think the injuries and their mentality is just not there anymore.
Yeah.
Other teams want it more, simply. How good, we mentioned Ginnivan. Did you guys see when he was just giving it to the Collingwood cheer squad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Bro, that, how that good
great.
Was that?
That was great.
Anyone
man.
That says, like, unless you're a Collingwood fan pissed off at him, I get it. Anyone else, if you don't like that, you don't like entertainment.
No, 100%.
That is, I wish 100%. Every team had players like that.
Yeah. And there's just so much just some vibe around the Hawks right now. And yes. I've said it before, their social media is unbelievable. You yep. know what I mean? They're just enjoying their footy, enjoying, you know, each other. And it's just... great to see, man.
I agree with that. But I think the Collingwood fans should be shouting at their coach and their list management for ditching Ginnivan for no reason and getting Lachie Schultz.
Yeah. Yep. Look, you say no reason, but I think McStay might have something to say about, you know, about that one. You got, have I told you about the McStay stuff?
No, tell us the rumor.
What's your mate's friend's cousin said now?
No, no, I'm not saying it on the pod. Okay. I'm not saying it on the all pod. Right. But shout out to McStay. You know, he's a good dude, man. Look, I'll explain.
Oh, is this in the off season?
We're talking about a video.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, a video.
We'll talk about it, but anyway.
Look, there's a few things I want to tell you guys before I leave about, you know, stuff that my mates told me.
It's a matter tells all before he goes to Greece.
Yeah, no, 100%. Well, look, there's some interesting...
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no, so yeah. We'll get back to McStay and Ginnivan. And there's a reason why Ginnivan was doing the photos.
All right, all right. Photos, well, to talk about...
Illuminati, bro.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, just to talk about Schultz for a moment, though, right? So Collingwood, everyone's like, oh, look at Collingwood... They just see the player they want. They just get him. They give away their first round pick. How good's this? They've topped up their list perfectly.
Yeah.
This pick now is currently pick, what would it be, 7 or 8?
Mm.
If they're 13th. So, exactly. No, 5th or 6th, whatever it is. Anyway. And this is a draft where there's lots of good, even midfielders.
Yeah.
Oh, Colin, no. What did we just say they need?
A midfielder. A running mate for Nick Dacos.
So, they're going to have to mortgage probably a future first round pick to get back into this first round.
Yep.
And hope that they pick the right guy. They're in trouble.
That is bad. That's
and you know what?
Yeah.
If they do rebuild again for a few years, at least they won a premiership. So no one can take that away.
No, you can't take... They won the flag. I'm just pissed that they won it.
Yeah.
I'm just pissed that they won it. Because imagine they got so close, they failed, and then they fall off again. Yeah.
Can I say before, like, we're going heavy on them. One thing I will say, they've fallen off this year, but I don't know if I think just yet that it's completely over for this team. Because it's looking bad right now. Like next year, they could go in with the same team and have completely different results.
That's true.
Is the way I say it. I'm not. But the thing is, it looks less likely.
They're gonna have to recruit well, not just draft, but free agents. Because if Pendlebury and Sidebottom hang it up in the next 2 years,
yeah,
guys like Finn McRae and that, I don't know if they're the guys.
Nah, I don't think
so. Who is it exactly? We're trying to get names. Mitchell's cooked as well. Apparently,
Bailey Smith, baby.
That's one, maybe. Maybe. So, we'll see. Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're going to bottom out by any means.
Yeah.
But you don't need to be too bad to be 13th, as you can see. Like, they're still a decent side, but they're 13th now. So,
well, the other thing we're probably not mentioning to the audience, if they don't know, is that Collingwood's got a very tough run coming up.
Yes.
They're versing. They've got Brisbane. They've got Sydney. They've got Melbourne. They got another good team in there as well. So, they got Carlton, which they'll probably still win the Bastards, but anyway, like it's a tough run and there's a lot of competition for spots, so it does look a strong possibility Essendon and Collingwood don't make the finals this year.
Interesting. Just to quickly finish it off, I think we should just talk about Hawthorn just a little bit more.
No, we have to talk about Hawthorn quite a little bit.
Watching them play, I haven't seen too much of this win streak. I've seen bits and pieces, but this game I actually watched most of. Something about it, and obviously I don't understand the nuance and the structure and things, but like it always just seems like they're ready for the overlap. Like someone marks it. There's like 3 of them in a handball chain on the wing. They seem pretty clever at strategically outnumbering the opposition at the right time in the right moment. And then all of a sudden they're just running. So many of their goals, even in the wet, were transition. And to move the ball that quickly, but not just like a hurry kick in the wet, was really impressive.
Yeah. Well, that's their game style. And that's what Sam Mitchell was kind of recruited for. So they're going to continue to play that way for years to come. And that's kind of what Sam Mitchell... He talked about it years ago, saying that he wants to set up a team for this type of game style. So it does look like they're understanding that. It allows them to play fast, allows them to score quickly. But I feel like a couple of the players that are unheralded, like even D'Ambrosio they picked up, has had a great impact off the halfback or the wing. I feel like Josh Weddle is a really good player as well.
Great player.
Like Chole as a pickup, you know, was really good on the weekend.
Yeah, my boy.
All of these players you mentioned have pace, and they've got a bit of flair to them.
Yeah.
So, like, and you know,
the thing is with them, right? I don't think so. Weddle might have been end of first round type guy.
Late
so
first,
they paid, late first. So they paid. You could say at the time it felt like a lot for him, right? But an end of first isn't a huge, huge, you know, you know, investment into someone, right? But say for D'Ambrosio and for Chol, I think Chol was a borderline like salary dump. You know what I mean? He might have been a third round pick or something. Mm. And D'Ambrosio, not much more. Maybe even less. Mm. You know what I mean? So they've got guys like very little investment in them, like what's it called, asset wise. Yep. And they've just paid them back. You know,
what about
strongly
Lloyd Meek?
Lloyd Meek as well. Yeah, exactly. The year before that, they've found their ruckman. You know, he's just fine as a ruckman.
Well, what it is, I think, and a team I'll criticize because I believe they don't do this is Port Adelaide, right? I said this before off air. I think they recruit simply like, oh, we need defensive reinforcements. Who's willing to come to us?
Yeah.
Radagalia worked out. Zerk Thatcher, meh. You didn't need to get him. I think Hawthorn, on the other hand, are strategic in the way, like lately, getting a guy like Chol. Why does it work out? Because they play this fast, flair type style football, and you bring in Marby or Chol. Of course that's going to work out.
Yeah,
you're going to get the best out of him. Why not? Mm. Ginnivan, you know? So I think there's a way to recruit. I think Hawthorn's doing it well. You don't need to get the big fish, throw all the money at them just to say that you got them, like some other teams do.
Mm. No, that's fair. That's fair. And I think with Chol, like, I think every, like, criticism that he had in regards to being lazy and not putting, you know, the effort in, it's kind of just gone away, man. Because I don't know if it's because he's in a better team environment, but he doesn't look like, even though his body language appears, you know, relaxed and like he's just lackadaisical, as they say, the effort's there. You can see it. You know what I mean? Look, the hard running's there. It's the...
If you provide enough in your other skills, you can't be perfect at everything. That's my opinion.
Yeah, but I don't even think there's a issue with his effort at all. I think his effort's just fine. He just looks relaxed while he's doing it. You know what I mean? He just looks... It appears... Yeah, I don't know. It's just his body language.
That's a fair call, man.
But that's fine. You know, it's just... Yeah.
No, look. Well done to the Hawks. I like seeing them do well. It gives me hope that North's rebuild can turn around faster. I think they're a shout for the eighth spot. I know the Dogs are probably the favourites for it.
But let's be fair, we're rooting for the Hawks. Let's be fair.
They've been the informed team in the second half of the year now that Sydney's lost a few games. So
they lost the first five games, man, and everyone was panicking. Yeah. And then Sir William Day comes into the team and he changes everything.
He had to throw in Will Day.
Oh, I had to. Man, he had another great game.
Talk about Sicily.
Sicily, look, every player that I love, and you boys, I've made it clear that I love Chol, Day, and Sicily, the broadcast were frothing over.
They're frothing.
They loved them. And I'm just
Sicily
like,
only has one shoulder and he's still performing.
Yeah, look, I don't know how true that is, but if true, it's incredible, man. He always knows where to be, man.
Yeah.
I think, where's the argument now? Is Tom Stewart still better than him? Do you guys still consider
not as that a midfielder now?
I know. Yeah, true, not as that true. Intercepting halfback because Chris Scott's playing him on ball.
Yeah, true. True. For some reason. There you go. So Sicily's that guy now.
Well, that's a transition now to the Geelong game. So
I didn't even mean that.
Lost again
good.
At home. That's a couple times this year, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
No, fortress no more.
No, it's not a fortress. It's kind of like the Lions not having a fortress of the Gabba. It's the death of the fortresses this year.
True. Well, look, I did watch the end of this game to catch the bit where the Dogs just put the foot down and killed the game off, but we know the Dogs are up and down, right? Geelong, on the other hand, they have been erratic this year, but something about them in these moments where they just look helpless, it doesn't look right. Like, usually Geelong's like a really strong foundation team. They're hard to beat. When they're just getting pummeled, on the eye, it's just a bit jarring.
Yeah.
I think it's weird. They just don't know how to get their mix right because some players are coming in, they're getting like... They're dropped, they're in. Like, say, Bowes, he's played every position just about this year.
Yeah, he was on the Guinness World Records, I think, this guy.
Yeah, I don't know, for the most amount of positions played. You know, him, like, say, Jai Clark comes out, Nevitt goes in. You know, Tanner Bruin got, like, 35 disposals in the VFL. I'm like, why isn't he in there? You know what I mean?
I've been complaining about this for a long time with Chris Scott, man.
Yeah.
His midfield is not settled. And often you'll look at it, you're like, why is there Tom Stewart, Blitzarves and Atkins on ball right now?
And in this game...
why would that work?
Yeah, and in this game, they were rotating Holmes and Stewart in there. I'm like, just rotate one of them in there and have the other one play half back. Because Mitch Duncan, like, he's okay, but it's like, you don't want it to be just him, you know, distributing the ball. I want Stewart on the ball, on that part of the ground. I want Holmes there.
Correct, and you've recruited Bowes, like you said.
Mm.
Which they, to this day, will claim was because they like Jack Bowes, when really we all know they just wanted the pick attached to him.
Yeah, which ended up being Jack Clark. Yeah.
I know they're trying to make finals, But you've got to have a settled midfield to make finals.
No,
it's pretty simple. Like every other team above them, you know who their top three or four are. Geelong's, flip a coin each week. Is it Parfitt's going to be called up and just get 20% of bounce attendances, or is he going to be dropped for 3 weeks? Yeah. Is it going to be Bowes? Is it going to be Stewart? Is it going to be Blitzer? Like, you just don't know who's in there.
Atkins, Clark.
And then you come up against the Dogs. Is it a surprise that they get pummeled? The Dogs, even more than them, even though Bevo likes to throw things around, we know it's been Richards, Treloar, Libba, Bont. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I feel like the Dogs are a lot more settled now. Like, at the start of the season, Bevo was being criticised for that stuff, rightly so. But I feel like they're more settled now. And they've hit a little patch of form. And they look pretty damaging.
It's crazy what a couple of months does. Two, 3 months does to a coach's rep. You know what I mean? Like, now all of a sudden, it's like, okay, Bevo, I'll see you.
Yeah, he hasn't been too bad.
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
He's behaved himself.
Behaving ever, Bevo. You know what? Flowers for Bevo. Rory lob in defense.
Yeah, well, that's right. It worked.
For once, he's thrown around lob and he stuck him in the right spot.
That's it.
He was awesome. He was really good.
He's been good. He has been good. Yeah, no, I saw it, I don't know which game I was watching. It might have been, the first time he tried it was against us, I feel like.
Was that game?
Yep. Yeah, and you could see it. It's just like, man, this guy, he knows when to rise up and take the mark, in the defense. He knows when to spoil. It's just like, it makes sense. It makes sense, man. Like, maybe it doesn't. It actually kind of doesn't make sense. Like, lobbing.
It doesn't make sense at all, but it works.
Exactly.
Well, he's got a good contested mark around the ground. It doesn't matter where he plays. He's always been good at it. So, if the ball's coming in and it's not to the advantage of the forward, why wouldn't he be really good at marking it?
Yeah, true. He's a big boy, man. So, he's going to at least get a fist on it.
Yeah.
The other position change that has been there for a little while is Ed Richards. But I feel like he's been a revelation this year.
He's been great.
The damage that this guy does in the midfield just adds such an extra layer.
He's way more powerful and fast than I thought he was.
Yeah, he's brutal, man. He had like 9 clearances, kicks goals, he's fast. He's a really good player.
Yeah.
I love him.
I like him.
Yeah, he's famously one of Georgie's boys, mate.
It's one other player I want to shout out. And every time I seem to watch him, I think to myself, why does he play more VFL than AFL? It's Caleb Poulter. Is that a weird guy to shout out and say, you know what? I don't mind this guy on a wing.
I just don't like his hair.
His hair's stupid.
Yeah.
But he's always available. Like, he runs hard up and down the wing the whole game. And he's not bad with the disposal.
Oh, fair enough.
I don't know if that's controversial.
Look, Dogs have a lot of those random guys.
I think he should stay in there. Scott. Look, is he better than Oscar Baker? I reckon he is.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I was going to say, like, that's another one that Collingwood let go. Ginnivan, Poulter. You know what I mean?
I don't think they're having sleepless nights over Poulter.
Probably not. But no, shout out to him anyway.
Cool. All right, next game. Port did the biz against Richmond. Wasn't easy, though.
No.
They made to work.
Richmond the best wooden spoon team we've seen?
I think so.
They've got a lot of decent players. They've also obviously had their injuries. I think they've had an unlucky run at it.
Very unlucky.
I think they would have been one of those middle pack teams, which makes sense because it's a new coach, trying to get, his game plan, established with the team. It's a horrid run.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the funny thing about this game that I was reading was, and I saw the video, Ken Hinckley gave his midfield a spray at halftime. You could see the camera in the change rooms. And apparently he gave a bit of a spray to Charlie Dixon. Oh. And like, fair enough, because it worked. But all I need to say is, like, why is that even necessary? You're Rozzy, you're Horn Francis, you're Butters, you're Charlie Dixon, you're playing Richmond, you're at home.
True.
Why do you need a spray at halftime?
Yeah, I don't get it. Well, look, Butters didn't run in the first three quarters.
No.
He didn't. Honestly, like, he didn't do those gut-busting runs. I'm watching this game. I'm like, Travis Boak is running better than you. And that dude's like 43. So, like,
you don't know what these players are carrying. And, like, I don't want to make excuses for the guy. Yeah. But, like,
I think you're right. You are right.
It must just be that. And they're just trying to get away with being the better team. And their teammates will carry him over. But it's a really even competition. Carlton today as well. Like, there wasn't much in it in the end. Like, you know who the better team is. But it doesn't mean you're entitled to win.
No, of course not.
That's facts, man.
So Richmond, like, good on them. I think, it's a good call.
It's the same story for the Tigers, though. Like, they're in it because they work hard, and then after halftime, they just get blown away. Mm. And that's just the story of the game.
Yep.
That's fair, man. That's fair. Like, I think one player to shout out is Logan Evans had a very solid game, man. He looked like just a solid
player. Who's that? I've never heard of him.
Logan Evans. They picked him up as a... I'm pretty sure it was mid-season draft pick for this year. So he looked like, you know, just a fine piece, young kid, was daring with his ball use as well. Like, he gave it a go, you know. So I thought he had a really solid game. I was in, like, he kept popping up because I was watching the game because I captain Butters and that really disappointed me. But like, I'm watching, I'm like, oh, this Evans kid's actually, you know, a solid little piece there. And Houston's kicking was just,
he's a beautiful kick, man.
Oh, laser, man. Laser. It's just a shame with him that he's not physically like quick or imposing. Like he's maybe a little bit imposing. Like he's a big boy, but he's just not like, you know, apart from the kicking, I don't think there's a hell of a lot to his game. But if it's just that kicking, you know, it's...
He reminds me a bit of what Doherty used to be years ago when he used to get like 30 kicks at like 98%.
Yeah.
He's basically a midfielder that just plays off the back line, takes the kick in, gets some of those kind of handball receives and delivers it.
Yeah.
Very, very similar players, just different ages. But yeah, I'm a big Houston Rocket fan.
Houston Rocket, there you go, mate. Little basketball reference from Georgie.
That's it, mate.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
The other one is Daniel Rioli. Kind of a forgotten man, but he's still a pretty good player.
Yeah.
2 goals.
Yeah. I feel like he's moved around the ground a little bit as well. Like, you know, getting a bit more into the midfield, which makes sense. Like, if you're going to, you know, you've got your talented players, you know, see what you got in them in different positions at this stage of the season where, you know, it's kind of over. But yeah, look, I think Richmond getting top one or two pick, because I don't think it's going to be between them and West Coast, right? I think you add a young midfielder with a bit of exuberance and a bit of, you know, just a bit of excitement there. You know, I think it could really help them next year because it means you got a midfield of Taranto, you know, Prestia, you know, the 3 games a year that Prestia plays. You have the young midfielder, whoever that might be.
Probably
maybe the young boy who's playing in their VFL right now.
Jagger Smith,
maybe, you know, that type of player. You know, maybe Rioli runs into the midfield a little bit. Hopper, it's kind of exciting, you know what I mean?
They just need Lynch back.
Yeah.
Lynch is a huge out. You can't understate that. He's one of the best forwards in the league.
It doesn't look like Taranto was playing this game either.
Yeah, no, he was out. He was out. An interesting one as well.
Vancouver's got injured as well.
Yeah, oh, that's why he went out. I was going to say, because he got subbed. Mm. So it was an injury in the end. There you go. Anyway, I think it's probably enough talking about a Richmond game.
That's it.
To be honest. Move on to...
Brisbane.
Yes. Yes. Wow. That was an exciting finish to the game.
You know, hard-fought win, man.
Hard-fought win. Maybe a bit fortunate with Sydney, you know, everyone getting injured basically for them. But, you know, look, earned victory for Brizzy.
Just the arm wrestle the whole game. It's one of those ones where, like, it was under pressure for the whole 4 quarters and it just, so much pressure, like errant handballs everywhere, clean pickups, non-clean pickups. It felt like every possession that each team had was critical for the end result. Mm-hmm. And it was like that for 4 quarters. But that's what you get from 2 kind of top 4 teams. It looked like, it was like a final. But kind of, you're right, Sydney, so many injuries and they nearly won it, which shows how good they are.
Mm.
And Brisbane winning it shows how good they are as well to beat Sydney. So,
well, now they're third.
After all
they
that.
They're third.
Look, they're still a threatening team. And the thing, Brisbane won that with Neil having probably his worst game he's had in years, being tagged out of it, and Dunkley not touching it either. So it was the other people around them that managed to get them the win. McCluggage being the main one.
You know? And once again, Sydney's just started poorly. And this is an issue I have. Like, when it comes to finals, I don't know if it will continue, but when you set yourself like 3 or 4 goal behind or you give the other team a head start, when you play a really good team away from home, that's a recipe for a loss, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And in saying that, they've only lost a few games by a couple points each time, so they're hard to beat.
Very hard.
But imagine they just didn't allow that to get out of hand in the first quarter. Like, instead of 5 goals to 1, it's 3. You know, that's all the difference right there.
For them, right, what I think is critical is to see whether Papley's a long-term injury or what these knocks on Nichols ends up doing, because the last thing you want is to be up the whole season and then come the final start and some of your best players are out injured. That would be the end. And Papley, they need that guy. He's very, very important.
He's a barometer.
Yeah, 100%.
I also noticed that Heaney's kind of... I just feel like now that he can't win the Brownlow, I don't think he's going to poll. I don't think he'll win the coaches' votes.
He's just going to fall. He's
I think he'll fall a little bit away. Maybe the motivation. Maybe he starts playing a little bit more team. Not that he wasn't playing team, but I just think now that the Brownlow's out of his mind, I think that it was on his mind. Because remember how we got banned and he did that speech?
Yeah.
And the Giants made fun of it? It was a weird speech to do. Like, you know, thanks for the support, blah, blah. Because he's basically saying, thank you for supporting me not winning the Brownlow. That's what that was.
I think he's better off.
And it's round like 15 or something, and he's saying that. Like
it was weird. It was weird. And look, shout out to GWS.
That means it's on his mind.
Yeah, shout out to GWS for doing that. But the thing is, you say it's on his mind, but do you think maybe the Swans PR team or whatever it is, you know, just like, hey, he wants you to mention something. Because everyone's really upset. Basically, we want our fans to calm down. Mm. You know, we want them to calm themselves.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. No way an AFL player would volunteer to say a speech like that. I wouldn't have thought.
No way.
That's fair. Look, I think it's in his best interest. Not that he will actively try not to play well, but play a bit more team, like you said, just so that you'd rather just not win it clear than win it and get it robbed from you.
See, for me, I'd rather win it and have it robbed and have it have that X across that other person's Brownlow. Like, no one actually thinks Trent Cotchin won a Brownlow.
Yeah.
Sam Mitchell won a Brownlow.
Yeah, true. You completely forget. Look, Sam Mitchell, like, I see him as a like potential Brownlow type guy. I didn't really ever see Cotchin as that guy. Maybe it's because I just never appreciated.
Yeah, but they won it because Joe Watson got it stripped away, right?
Of course. But the thing is, you see Sam Mitchell as a Brownlow quality player.
Yeah.
You remember him back in the day? He was a freak, man.
Yeah, but he's
a gun.
He is a Brownlow medalist now, technically.
Yeah. But it's still a bit. Yeah, it is a bit weird. Actually, who won it when Corey McKernan didn't get it?
I can't remember.
I don't know. See, I don't really remember either. But my dad mentions it quite often. You know, McKernan won one. You know, whoever that guy is, see, we don't even remember him. You know, wasn't even alive when it happened, but still. Look, that finish to the game was so entertaining, man. Like, you know, there was a couple clutch moments as well from both teams. Like, they reckon that Chad Warner, you know, he stuffed up the kick there, you know, for the goal for Hayward's goal, but he meant that. He managed to get enough power on it to get it to his brother, and then, you know, Hayward clutch finish, you know, on the little snap there. And then Archie, the unlikely hero, you know, he pops up and, you know.
He kicks out goal, then he's running into goal,
yeah.
And he could have run the whole way, and he doesn't, and he misses.
Hutto went crazy on that, bro. Hutto was just like, he missed. He got the hard one and he's missed the easy one. You know, his commentary was excellent for that.
Is Hutto the GOAT currently?
For me, Hutto's the guy. He's my favourite commentator.
I think he is.
Do you reckon it's not the GOAT?
Right, current GOAT.
Oh, the current GOAT, yeah. When it comes to like, you know, he's the Lionel Messi right now, you know what I mean? Or the Ronaldo. That's probably too high. No, that's too strong. That's too strong.
Well, who else is there? There's Brayshaw. There's BT. It's
Dwayne, not them. Dwayne Russell.
Dwayne's
all right.
I don't mind Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne's all
right. But Hutto's
STO right now.
Yeah, 100%. Like, he's there, you know, purely because he's got the voice. He's got the intonations right there. You know what I mean? Like,
He gives genuine excitement. Yeah. Even when the game isn't like top four teams. He'll make it sound like a huge vibe.
100%.
I appreciate it.
And the thing is, I appreciate it as a North fan because there's moments where he's been really G'ing up North when he doesn't have to.
Correct.
And he does it. So, yeah.
Like, he'll be like, Bryn Teagle, what a mark. Yeah. No one's ever saying that.
Nah.
Even the North fans are like, oh, geez, not this guy.
Larky with the marky. You know, just certain things that he says. You know, like, you know, there was another one where, you know, Cunnington kicked the goal to put us ahead, and he goes, yes. Otherwise, both are in front. You know, it's gold. To me, I love it. Anyway, I digress. Hutto GOAT.
Next game, yeah. Freo just pantsing Melbourne for the second time this year.
They're bunnies, mate. They're absolute bunnies.
Who would have thought Freo is that team that just puts 116 points past you, destroys you at home again? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, weird. Weird, but look, shout out to him, man. Shout out to him. I think they just have, like, in this type of game, it's not much to analyze because it's like
they just got slaughtered from the start.
Yeah, and it's Petty versus Darcy and Jackson. Dude. What do you think's going to happen? And it's a depleted midfield. Oliver's still fat, apparently. They're just
how funny is it? Speaking of the ruckman situation, how funny is it? How they go like, we're going to get the best number two ruckman of all time to like we don't need any number two ruckman. Like, how do you go from like yeah. one end to the other? Just get someone that's big mm. to play ruck, please. Yeah. Like, what's going on here?
I don't know how they failed that hard.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like even we went and got Tekel in the mid-season draft. Why did they pick him up before the start of the season?
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Just someone, you know. I don't get how it got so bad like that.
I think they know their season's over, man. Melbourne, surely.
Yeah,
technically not. Like, they're right amongst it, just like everyone else.
No, but they just don't have it. They don't have the firepower anymore.
Mm.
I agree. They don't have the star power.
Mm. No, fair enough. I think now it's the chance for someone like Pickett to get a bit of midfield time. What's his name? Windsor. Just get those young guys a bit of reps and, you know, an opportunity to show what they have. Experiment with them a little bit. Because it's just, yeah. I think, let's be fair, it was as soon as Track went down.
Yeah.
That was it.
That was it.
Gorn's going to try his very hardest, right? Yeah. In this last part of the season. He's going to have some Herculean games trying to get them wins. But, you know, how much does he really expect as well? You know what I mean?
True. Walters kicked 4. Bit of a throwy.
Yes. I think it was he the sub again?
No.
No, it wasn't. Oh, okay.
No,
he's been the sub quite a few times. But, yeah. So we'll...
Three goals for Treacy, 4 for Walters, and you got 4 for Amos as well, hitting a bit of form lately.
Yeah, it's been good. Yeah. Really, everyone in Freo is starting to play good. And one thing I've noticed, Luke Ryan's possessions have gone down significantly.
Mm. Which is probably just an indicator that it's just not going back there
yeah,
as much.
They're just pushing forward. I think it's a key sign that they're just not... They're moving forward, they're playing more attacking footy, they're putting on bigger scores. I feel like there's a direct correlation between that and them scoring better. And Fremantle's in the top 4. And they could stay there.
Yeah, why not? Why not? That's Sydney, Carlton, Brisbane, Freo.
Whoa.
Man, I just realised, sorry to harp on about this ruck thing, I just realised it was 47 hitouts for Freo and 9 to Melbourne. 9.
I wonder why they lost.
Yeah. Nah,
you wonder why Brayshaw's getting 41 disposals, Sarong 36. Jeez, they're getting it on a platter.
Yeah. And still didn't allow 5 to do anything.
No,
he's washed up, man.
He's washed up.
Yeah.
Do you guys know, just a random tangent, all the teams on the ladder are lowercase, but the GWS Giants is all in capital.
Yeah, you know what it is? Because big letters, Giants. You know what I mean?
Is that on purpose?
It wouldn't surprise me.
That's a good call. It must be on purpose.
Why is Giants the only word that's all capital?
Yeah, I don't know. GWS Giants.
Well, Suns is all capital as well.
Yeah, that is weird.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
The Tassie team is going to be all capital. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Yeah, there's a little conspiracy here. There we go, man.
Expansion clubs with the capital.
Yeah, that is odd. Good, mate. That's some investigative skills there.
That is something that matters not at all, and no one will probably take any note of.
There's something in that, George.
There is something in that.
I agree.
I don't know what that something is. But there's something in that. 100%. Let's go to our last game.
Our game. Oh, yeah. We watched this together on this very couch.
Yeah.
It was a fun time. I guess, look, George, your team won. You can start us off.
Look, I wasn't very happy with the performance, to be honest with you. Look, I was impressed with North. I thought they played well.
Thank you.
I think the biggest takeaway for me was after halftime, Carlton came out and had a really strong third quarter. We were behind by a couple of goals and we ended up a couple of goals ahead. And it's kind of like, it was so obvious that the pressure was so much stronger in that third quarter. We're tackling, there was a couple of people tackling. It was just like a pack.
Yep.
Tom DeConning got moving. He was on and off the bench all game. There's a lot of players that had some niggles. But that third quarter they put on and kind of got themselves the lead to eventually win the game, you'd say. Why did it take... to half times, probably a spray, for them to come out and put it on 250 pressure rating.
It's like I was saying before with Port.
Yeah.
Why did it take that?
What do you guys think this is, man? I just feel like Carlton get ahead of themselves, right? Mm. They play ridiculous football against like Richmond and Cats, and they're on a roll. They're stomping teams. They're stomping Port. And then they get exposed a bit. Mm. And then it takes them a couple of weeks to get their head out of the gutter again. Mm. And they haven't got it out of the gutter yet.
Mm.
Like, what did they think? They're just going to come in and roll North? No, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. And North post bye, aside from last week, which you're playing Sydney, losing 2 on the trot with, you know, a lot to play for and whatever. But other than that, post bye, we've been very competitive. We've been tougher on the ball, much more organized behind the ball. So, and you actually asked me before the game, what are you sort of expecting? And I pretty much said what happened, which was, I hope we can keep it close, but at some point you're going to kick a couple goals in a row. Mm. And that's exactly what happened in the third quarter. But I was pleased, like, if I can give my input for a moment, like,
yeah.
I think North have the bones for a really good team in the coming years. Yeah. I don't think it's going to take as long as people think it would. Like, everyone's saying, oh, Clark has got a 5-year deal. It's going to be at the end of that deal that they start getting good.
And then the new coach will be the guy.
Yeah, I disagree. I think next year, pending whatever we can do in the off-season, I think we can be a mid-table team. Mm. And then after that, who knows?
Yeah, I think something that might unlock us getting going quicker into this rebuild is the positional change, you know, of Comben going to the forward. How exciting is that? That is very
exciting. That's probably the only major takeaway from this game is that Charlie Comben might be our key forward that we thought he was all these years.
Yep.
He actually delivered with 3 goals and created contests all game.
Mm-hmm. I think they put him into the defense just so we can get a bit of continuity with his game, you know, just because he just kept getting injured as a forward. I don't know what it is. But I think it's just allowed him to see the game from a different perspective.
Mm.
And, you know, I think this week against the weakened Carlton defense, it was just the perfect opportunity. He was lining up on Cowan and Matt Kennedy and people like that. And he was able to just, you know, just use his strength. And, mate, we can see it. He's a big boy, man. He's strong. So,
and something I noticed too, because he's there, did you notice, like, Larky's just running and jumping at the ball a lot more often? And that's not his game at all, but I think he's just having space to actually run to.
Yeah, well, he had that one-on-one in the first minute or whatever it was, in the quick start of the game where he threw Wiedering and then he tripped and missed the goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, it just shows that him, you know, in a one-on-one, it doesn't look as bad because, you know, he just, he has the space to, you know, to use his forward craft.
Yeah. And
It just made me think of, like, Shark Tale. He tripped underwater.
What I will say as well is, you look at Carlton's midfield, obviously a lot of excellent names in there.
Mm.
The fact that Harry Sheasel can be the best midfielder on the ground, which he was, is crazy.
Mm.
This kid's just
a freak.
Uber talented. Mm. And look, I think we're in the game. We're only down a couple goals in the end. And we gifted, and I'm not even talking umpires, like, even though they were atrocious both ways, in more ways than one, but there was a couple of just literal kicks directly to the opposition that we got punished for, rightfully so, and that was really the game. So
pretty much,
I can live with that because it's guys like Archer, guys like McKercher who have played barely any games between them.
Yeah, and then there was one from Logue which kind of sucked. But then,
he's back now, which is great.
He's back, and what was very heartening at the start of the game was when he was one-on-one with Charlie Curnow. And he monstered him, to be honest with you. And it happened a few points in the game where, you know, he was able to outstrength him and make a contest. The only time Curnow really got his goals is when, you know, he was able to just make a lead and, you know, Logue couldn't catch him, but not many can. Yeah. So, you know, he looked good, man.
Yeah.
He looked good and ready to go.
It was pretty similar, other than the fact that we don't have the class to kick too many goals, to your game against the Doggies last week, I reckon, where, like, the Doggies had that power to kick on and score goals. We just did it. Mm. So I don't know. I think, though, you shouldn't worry too much as a Carlton fan. I think your team is tough and creates a contest in every game. And, like, the fact that you can't kick away too often isn't as important to me as the fact that you are always in the game for the most part. So that's more important.
There's only been one game this year that we've been smashed, and that's against Sydney.
Yeah.
No, I don't think any game we've lost has been under 10 points, I think.
And I think that matters more than anything. Yeah, so
that's fair.
You know, you'll be playing finals.
Yeah.
And I think you'll do pretty well. But no, good game. As a North fan, if I see that to the end of the year and a few wins in there, happy days. We're showing a lot of promise. So.
Yeah, 100%. Like, that was a game where, like, I was pretty calm towards the end of it. Like, the only thing that really made me angry was the umpires, to be honest with you. Like, there was quite a lot of bad calls, like, and non-calls. Like, specifically, there was one where... Colby McKercher, right? So this one should have been a free kick where Colby McKercher puts his arm on Motlop's shoulder and he, what's it called?
Spoiled.
And he spoiled, you know, could go either way, but I understand why you give that one. But then it goes the other way where Motlop is two hands on I think it was Tucker's shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
And nowhere near the mark. And he was, you know, and it wasn't
no unrealistic attempts. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. So it's just like, it was just very inconsistent. Larky had one in the forward 50.
Two.
He had two highs in the, you know, in the forward 50 that could have been given. Whereas, you know, Carlton were given those free kicks, you know.
They were free kicks though. Yeah, most of them.
Yeah. Yeah, but they were given the free kicks leading to goals, which they just didn't want to give for us for whatever reason, which was frustrating. But look, it is what it is. I think that's a part of the better team gets the better rub of the green from the umpires. And I've always notice that, to be honest with you. Just it is what
it is. And the better players.
And you know what? You're right, that's what it is. We were saying about it earlier. There was one that should have been given to...
Carlton.
To Carlton, but I can't remember who it was.
Might have been Albies or Hollands.
Hollands. Yeah. It was Elijah Hollands. The free kick should have been given to him. He was getting held by Corr, but because his name wasn't Charlie Kerno or Ben Mackay or Harry Mackay, they just didn't give it. So, yeah, anyway...
Yeah.
I have a little theory, and I mentioned it to you guys during the game. I think the issue with umpires is the fact that you got a bunch of 40-year-old dudes who have full-time jobs, who have all this other stuff going on in their lives. They're not guys who can sit there and focus and grasp concepts and have the reaction times as someone like Harry Sheasel, right? If Harry Sheasel focused on becoming an umpire, he'd be the greatest of all time because he's quick, smart, his reactions, quickest hands in the game. You reckon he wouldn't have the quickest mind as well?
He would.
And, you know, just the ability
man
to pick stuff up.
Cancer as well then while he's at it, I reckon.
Right, he'll do it all, man.
Quickest
mind. Well, this is why, you know, the high performers and the high earners are the players and not the umpires.
Exactly. That's right. That's a fact. It makes sense. But, like, I think it just shows you need young people
and to you be know doing what umpiring, it is as well,
not all like these oldies. You know what I mean? The people who end up being umpires, they're all in their 30s, surely in their 40s. You know, I don't know. It's like they give the good job to the old guy who's, you know, he's been there. It 100%. Should be someone who's, you know, a bit more, you know, quicker, you know?
And the problem is as well, like we just did complain about the inconsistencies. Like why wasn't that a free in the North 50 and it was in Carlton's?
Yeah.
The fact is, it's two different umpires.
Yeah, true.
It's not like it's one guy making both calls, right?
Yeah.
So my problem is like, why is there not more, maybe like-minded umpires, if you're going to say that, or why isn't there a more
like-minded umpires?
Well, I'm sure they have got similar personalities or different personalities, like match them up a bit better, or
maybe that's it,
just maybe make the rule a bit more black and white, or call less stuff, you know, whatever the solution is.
They can't do that. What about the fast this week with the tackling? And with
let's not talk about it.
Charlie Cameron and these type of things.
Oh, gosh.
It's been overdone, but anyway.
If they can't get that right, that's off the field.
True.
How can they get those split second ones right?
True. Yeah. Anyway, interesting round.
Yeah.
Very interesting ladder, but let's get into the next week. Carlton, back to the Friday night slot. No more Sundays for you, George.
Nah, quick turnaround here.
I think we'll beat Port because we have a good record against them. And at home, I'm pretty confident.
Why are you playing at Marvel again, though? What's going on here? Three in a row.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd prefer to play at the G because it means I can get a ticket.
Yeah, fair enough.
But look, I'm hoping to continue to win. We talked about Freo and Brisbane being in the third and fourth. It's really important that Carlton keeps the second spot because the last thing you want is to play, to slip to third or fourth and have to verse Freo or Brisbane at home. That's a completely different proposition to versing Freo at the G. So it's really important they keep winning, man. They just got to keep doing.
Fair enough.
I hope that they do that.
I'll tip you.
Yeah, I'm happy.
I feel like we match up well against Port. We've got a good record against them.
North
is an interesting
North
game,
versus Geelong at Blundstone Arena in Hobart. Don't know when the last time Geelong's had to go down there.
Yeah, look, I'm tipping North, man. I think, Geelong you'd think would win, but in saying that, we're showing that we can bring it against good teams. Our midfield is way stronger than theirs and way more has more continuity, as we were talking about. So, yeah, I'm going with North.
Look, I'm going to give you guys a North tip. Just me.
I didn't even need to say anything.
Bro, yeah, your tip doesn't even matter, Georgie.
I'm going to go Geelong then.
He's going to say, I told you so when they win as well.
I know. You know, look, I'm not going to be us. I don't care.
We're going North.
I'm going to tip without consequences here, mate.
How good does it feel?
Yeah, that's a tip of your own team.
Yeah. No, just a tip without consequence, man.
Yeah, that's it. Look, next week, what is it? I'm doing the kiss of death, mate. What's it called? Have you guys seen that on the newspaper? Yeah. The kiss of death? It just goes all the other teams.
Well, who's the underdog in this game, Atta? The undefeated at home Suns or the top four Lions?
Mate, I'm going to go to the Suns, mate.
There's no way we're going Suns, man. Rao can't even get more than 10 possessions these days.
Yeah, nah, fair enough. We got to go Brizzy.
Definitely Brizzy, and I think they're going to whack them.
Yeah, they're going to break the trend.
They're going to break the Suns, any slim chance of them making finals.
Yeah, true. Look, it's not that much of an away game. It's just an hour drive or something, right?
It's a trek, man.
Yeah.
Soon Harnwood's going to say, I hate playing at home.
The next game, St Kilda versus Essendon. That's an interesting game, man. I'm going to go with St Kilda because I'd love to see him win.
Yeah.
Purely because of that.
I think the Dons will win, but I'm going Saints as well, man. It's way more funny.
To be consistent that I think they're going to choke the year out, Saints.
Oh, there we go. I love it. And then the next one, Melbourne versus JWS. Melbourne, they've got them as the favourites. What?
It's at MCG. They've got to respond, bro.
Nah, Giants for me.
That was one of the things we used to say on the pod every time. Oh, they've got to respond, so
it's so easy to respond week after a bad performance, but yeah, I think Giants are going to win.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man.
Docker's revenge on Eagles, surely.
Yeah,
they're going to. We don't need to talk about
annihilation. Mate, Captain Sarong in Supercoach.
Yeah, true. Collingwood,
Richmond. Richmond's been giving games to better teams than Collingwood.
Yeah,
this is interesting.
I'm going to go with the Pies, man.
Yeah, same.
They have to, this is the only
this
game.
Is the one they'll win, then it gets hard for them.
Yeah,
I'm going to go Richmond. Not that I want that, because I want North to not be last, but
Sydney Swans versus Western Bulldogs. We're going to go the Swannies at the SCG.
Yeah,
the way they played against North, I can see why they love the SCG, because you just can't play corridor against them. They just chop everything off. It's crazy. Anyway.
I'll go Swans as well.
Yeah. And then Adelaide versus Hawthorn. That's a pretty solid game. Adelaide Oval. That's
a hard one to tip.
That is a hard one to tip.
I'm going
to
go Hawks.
I'm going to go Adelaide.
You know, and because I'm tipping without consequence, and I am such a huge fan of the Hawks, and my boys at the Hawks, we're going to go with them. You know, shout out to Chol, Day, Sis.
JL
as well. We've got to shout out JL as well. Those are my four Hawthorn boys that I want to see do well. But yeah, that's the tips for the round. That was a bit wild. That little tipping segment there. I was just wilding throughout that. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just saying whatever.
Take everything we said just with a grain of salt. Yeah.
Isabella, don't use those tips. I don't think some of those are a bit wild. Shout out to Isabella for listening to us for tips. Which you shouldn't be doing.
Well, Matza's off for a couple of weeks now. How long are you away for, Matza?
I'll be back in September. So,
back for finals.
Back for finals. this part of the year, it's just gotten to be boring for me. So I'm going to be going down to Europe.
He's scouting some Greek talent.
Exactly right. Exactly what he said. Spanish talent.
He wants to find the next Zacharakis.
That is it. And then Spanish talent and English talent as well. I don't really know. Has there been any players? I think there was a player like Brad Moran. Do you remember that name, Dino, for North? I'm pretty sure he was born in England.
Brad Moran.
Yeah. Very, very. When I was a kid, I had ridiculous knowledge of football and of players. But I'm pretty sure he was born in England.
What about Robbie? Find Robbie Williams and tell him that Carlton's making the finals.
Yeah,
and I'll tell him he knows already.
I'll tell him De Koning's doing really well. Yeah,
De Koning's in the air.
He is in the air. Players. I don't know. There's probably a couple of random Spanish.
Not too many. Maybe you can find some and let us.
That's
know.
It.
Bring a footy over, kick it around the beach.
That's it, man. Look, we can see what they do with the round ball. You know what I mean? They just won the Euro. So, I'll just like, look at this. It's a little bit differently shaped. I reckon you guys could sort it out. I'll find Lamine Yamal of
Matt is going to bring us a Category B rookie or two.
That's it, man. Look, North. We don't really do the Category Bs very well. So let's J it up a little bit. I reckon.
Why not, man? Get it done.
He comes back and he sends North an email. I found our new draft.
It's me.
I just changed my name to James Mata Madrid. Guess or something, I don't know. Let's just go James Rodriguez, like the Colombian guy. James Rodriguez and I'll just have a little mustache or something and be like, yes.
While you're doing that, you're finding all the talent, you're going in disguise. Me and George are going to hold it down.
Yep.
We've never done a pod, just me and you.
It's never ever been me and Svendor.
No, I'm mate, no sick days for Matza, man. I'm like Georgie at actual work. You know what I mean?
I'm
excited.
It's the cold, hard winter, so I can't promise no sick days, but I'll try my best.
Georgie's going to go mad with my North Melbourne talk.
Oh, I'll just switch off,
see,
man.
You're gonna learn.
It's like
what
talking
it's like.
To a brick wall.
That's it. Nah, see, at least you admitted it, because that's what it's been like when we do the pods together.
That's not true, man. I let you say your piece.
Yeah. Look. I get that. But I like discussion. You know what I mean? I'm a discuss kind of guy. I like to
remember that one where you were like North had just got slaughtered and you just went on an absolute rampage.
Yeah. Now that one I needed the space.
Yeah. So I gave you your space.
Yeah.
Man.
I remember talking shit about Tucker. Fisher probably. And now Tucker's all right.
No, Fisher isn't though.
No, but Fisher is. Yeah, you're gonna have to trade him in Supercoach, man.
You're gonna have to trade him back to Carlton, maybe.
I know, because you guys don't have a left-footed, half back. Apparently,
actually, Jack Carroll played all right.
Yeah, he did. He did.
He was zippy.
A little bit of a different mix.
Yeah,
agile. He's a bit like a Pendlebury.
Oh, okay. Let's end it there.
I was gonna say Caldwell or something.
Jeez, Jack Carroll. equals Scott Pendlebury. There you go.
There you go.
What better way to end things?
Yeah. Anyway, look. See you guys in September. You know, all the best.
When Matza comes back, Carlton will be in the grand final.
Yeah, and I'll be tanned actually. You know,
and he'll
I mean?
Be tanned.
And I'll be tanned. So everyone's going to be happy.
He'll have brought over a Greek chick on a visa.
That's it. That's it.
We'll and she'll be sitting right here.
That's it. That's it. And then the show will get more clicks. Yeah. but anyway, thank you guys for listening. See you guys.
Have a good one.
Bye.